Welcome to On DOD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, your host, Jared Serbu.
Thanks for listening to On DOD this week. I'm Jared Serbu. Glad you're with us. On this week's show, we follow up on a topic we covered several months ago, the Army's effort to build resilience among its soldiers, civilian employees, and their family members. We discussed the definition of resilience and why the Army cares about it in great detail on a show last October with Colonel Kenneth Riddle, the director of the Army Comprehensive Soldier and Family Fitness Program. We'll post a link to that full interview if you'd like to listen back to it, federalnewsradio.com/ondod. Now the Army is rolling out a technology tool that it hopes will take that comprehensive resilience effort further. It's called Army Fit, and it's designed to let all those Army populations assess their own resilience along five different dimensions of strength, and only one of those dimensions is physical. Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Johnston is an Army physician and the program manager for Army Fit. He spoke with us by phone just after the program's public launch. You know, we had Colonel Riddle on for almost a full hour a couple months ago, so many of the people who are listening to this will have heard that broader discussion on comprehensive soldier and family fitness. Why don't you tell me where Army Fit fits into that broader picture?
Sure. So Army Fit is basically a redesign of a existing platform that our program has had since 2008. Actually, at the time our entire program started, we knew the importance of self-awareness around total fitness and what we call five dimensions of strength. So we've been running an online web-based self-assessment in these five dimensions since 08. And at that time, it was called, when it launched, it was called the Soldier Fitness Tracker, was the name of the website. And that had been in use. And this online assessment that is housed there is called the Global Assessment Tool, or GAT is what we called it. And that's the instrument that would provide the metrics to an individual in these five dimensions of strength, all for the purpose of a confidential self-awareness tool in somebody's total fitness. So that started in 08 on the Soldier Fitness Tracker. I came on board in 2011. And when I came on board, I realized that there was some things that needed to be fixed or at least addressed and enhanced. One of the first thing was that the Global Assessment Tool that we were, you know, that name that we were using, that was housed on the Soldier Fitness Tracker, was not truly global. It only provided information on four dimensions of strength, and the fifth one that was missing was the physical dimension. And that was probably just due to, you know, where the program really was in its developmental cycle, and just something that hadn't gotten done yet. So I knew that to make it truly global, as the name would imply, we had to build, you know, new questions and some new data fields in the self-assessment. But then when I started digging a little deeper, I realized, well, there's sort of a bigger issue here that we gotta deal with, and that is, as it relates to our online self-development portion of our program, which at that time was the Soldier Fitness Tracker, we really weren't doing very well with providing ongoing meaningful engagement to the soldier, family member, or DA civilian, because the assessment is for all three of them, once they completed that GAT. So even if we were to make the GAT better and truly global, which certainly was my intent, the bigger problem I saw was that we needed to also be sure that we really revamped the platform and made it just much more engaging, more robust in terms of the training tools. I wanted to integrate an automatic sort of email system that could provide weekly tips to the users in the areas that they needed to get tips on. I wanted to make it socially, you know, engaging. And so that was sort of the bigger issue that I wanted to address. And at that time, all we had up until 2010 when I started looking at this were very lengthy videos that were basically kind of recommended to watch when you're done taking the GAT. And we just weren't getting a lot of people watching them. They're very well done videos. When people did watch them, they liked them, but we still weren't getting a lot of people to watch them. So that became sort of then my mission in 2010 was to say, okay, we're going to rebuild the GAT in terms of really enhance it and bring to life the physical dimension. We're going to call it GAT 2.0, which is that's what it's called now. And then we decided to redo the whole web platform, so the Solar Fitness Tracker is now the new one. The Solar Fitness Tracker is gone, and the new one is called Army Fit. So Army Fit, in a nutshell, is this is a ecosystem of resources that house the mandatory global assessment tool 2.0, and then a plethora of personalized resources, content in the form of videos, articles, blogs, questions and answers in a socially engaging format called Web 3.0 that allows us to take advantage of sort of the latest approaches to behavioral change and using social media to get people important information. So after a lot of research, and that's what I came up with, that would be the best strategy for the Army to enhance this platform called Army Fit called Army Fit Today. So that's that program sort of conceived then, and then after a year or so of doing lots of research and market research and understanding, you know, the expertise and I started putting together the work statement. It went to contract about a year and a half ago.
Right. And so I think officially you launched right at the end of January. Talk a little bit about what's built into the tool right now as of launch and what you're still hoping to add as you go along.
We have several enhancements still to be built into the site, but it was at a stage where it could certainly be launched and be a massive improvement over the previous global assessment tool and the previous platform. And again, I emphasize the word that there's a couple of key concepts here. The assessment is mandatory for all soldiers. We have versions inside the site that are voluntary for DA civilians and family members. With it being mandatory for soldiers, we have about 2,000 soldiers a day taking it. And we've always had, you know, around that amount. And so, again, a massive opportunity, which was not being fully realized before of Army Fit, to get 2,000 people a day really powerful information about their comprehensive level of fitness and resilience and health. But then also to get them engaged into an ecosystem of resources where they want to come in on a regular basis throughout the year between their mandatory instrument, so that they would create an ongoing engagement in the site and therefore a better chance at changing their behavior and improving their health and fitness. Because again, before they would sign out and we wouldn't hear from them until a year later when they had to take it again. So it was clear to me we were doing a great job at, you know, running a mandatory instrument for soldiers, but we weren't really doing anything on the training side that needed to be done. And then the DA civilian and family members, we also weren't really getting a lot of them to take the instrument. So we also brought into the platform much better reporting. The graphics have all changed, really enhanced the graphics of the report that one gets back. But we added a carrot called your real age to it. And we thought that was important for multiple reasons. But one of the things, you know, people can get their five dimensions of strength, but not really, okay, why do I really need to care about this, you know, kind of thing, especially if they're voluntary, like a DA civilian or a family member. So I brought in a metric called your real age to the report. And what the real age is your age, your biological age of your body. So based on the way you answered in those five dimensions, the way you scored in those five dimensions of strength, I can tell you what your biological age is compared to your calendar age. Are you older or younger? Are you living in a way that would actually that would suggest you're going to live longer than your average, you know, age-matched counterpart in the civilian world? Or are you going to live shorter because of the way that you're living? And so now for people, and that's a validated, you know, it's been well-validated in the commercial sector, to be very important, to be an excellent predictor of mortality, better than your calendar age. It's a great indicator of the likelihood of when you're going to die. So now that we have something that's kind of interest to people, people want to see, okay, am I living, healthier, or am I living less healthy, and am I expected to die earlier or later than other people in my same age group? Mm-hmm. So that we feel that's a great sort of carrot, if you will, at the end of the instrument that is new as well.
Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Johnston is the program manager for Army Fit, a new self-assessment tool focused around resilience for Army soldiers, family members, and civilian employees. We'll come back after a first break and talk more in just a moment. This is On DOD on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serdin.
Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 9, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO to hear from your agency's top tech leader how technology is changing government. Tech Tuesday on 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM, I'm Jared Serbu. Our guest this week is Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Johnston, an Army physician and the program manager for what's called Army Fit. It's a self-assessment and self-improvement tool for soldiers, civilians, and Army family members designed to help build resilience along what the Army calls its five dimensions of strength. Before the break, we were discussing some of the carrots the Army's tried to create to get its civilians and family members to use Army Fit because their participation is voluntary. It's mandatory for all soldiers, though. But Johnston says the Army's tried to make it an experience that doesn't feel like just another tasking.
The other set of metrics that are new beyond the whole change in the dynamic training environment online is that we're providing a performance triad score. And that enables, especially for the young soldiers who maybe, they're not, if they're 19, 20, 21 years old, they're not really thinking about what their real age is. They're not really care. They don't really care when they're going to die. They're just, kind of want to know. They're doing this because they have to, but we want to make it still interesting to them. So we're providing them a metric that shows the way that they're living. Here is your performance triad score, meaning we're looking at sleep, activity, nutrition, which are new elements within that physical dimension. And we're showing them, based on the way you sleep, the way you work out, and the way you eat, here is your rating in terms of your performance, the impact of those on your performance, and that's something that a lot of young people, they want to perform well, they want to do great when they're out running around doing soldier things, but if they're not sleeping right, they're not eating right, they're not exercising the right way, that will show on their report. So it's not a health really score, it's more of a performance-based score, but that's a new sort of carrot, if you will, that we're added in. So with that, those are sort of a summary of again the platform functionality, the change in the assessment, the change in the metrics that users get back. But again, the whole thing is built in this context of Web 3.0 strategy, meaning taking video content, written content, and then allowing users to have individual profiles and connect them from the assessment to the content and keep it engaging throughout the year through regular emails and other information. So kind of think of, Facebook meets Twitter meets WebMD, YouTube, health YouTube or something. It's all that kind of rolled into one site. And the other thing that I'm really excited about is that what we've tried to do is also create an ecosystem that is really the humble host for a lot of existing Army and DoD organizations. By that, I'm meaning they have organizations both in the Army, in the DoD, as well as actually civilian organizations that we've allowed in, have their own profile pages. That means these existing Army entities that have their own websites already out there, great content, but nobody knows about them. Nobody, the 19-year-old soldier never, sees them, doesn't interact with the content, doesn't come across it unless they happen to stumble on it on Google or something. Now they will have a site, they will have a profile page, And then we will connect their content to the right soldiers based on the way that the soldiers answer questions in the GAT. So now we have a way to sort of collect all this great, you know, collective IQ in the Army and in the Department of Defense, collect it, host it, and then connect it to the soldiers that need it. So it's a really, I'm excited about the ability of the site to allow better utilization of existing Army and DOD and even civilian expertise by connecting it to the soldiers right when they have to take a mandatory assessment. Again, for their benefit, it's confidential, but they, if they want to reach out to them, we simply say, hey, you know, based on the way you answer these questions, this organization may be of value to you. The soldier decides. It's all user controlled. And again, confidential. The soldier controls whether or not they want to share anything with anyone. But again, it's just that ability to connect them and make good use of what the taxpayers already bought and paid for within the Army and the DOD that we are. I'm also personally kind of excited about.
Let me go back to the Web 3.0 point that you made a little bit ago. You said that the previous version basically just had videos, which I take to mean sort of a one to many, one directional, content delivery experience. In this new Army Fit ecosystem, is it still one directional but more tailored to an individual, or is there actual interaction between the soldier or family member or DA civilian and an expert that they may be able to ask questions of, for an example?
Yeah, it's more, there can be more two-way dialogue now. So whereas before, you're right, we just presented them videos that they could choose to watch or not watch. Now they, when they're done, they are presented organizations and or people. We also have the ability to put in, qualified experts that have their own profiles. We can connect, we can suggest that they follow them, and follow also gives the soldier the sense that, okay, this is now, I can have an ongoing sort of relationship with this organization. And then now that organization can push content out to all the people that are following them. And if the soldier, if there wants to be a two-way dialogue, that's also possible if the soldier accepts the follow of that organization. So if the soldier just follows them, the organization can simply push content to them. But for the communication to be bi-directional, for the soldier to contact them, they both have to be following each other. So there's sort of that, again, user preference as well as the organization saying, okay, yeah, we're going to be able to staff this and answer things versus just pushing out content. So it kind of depends a little bit on the dialogue, kind of depends a little bit on the organization or the expert. But the concept is to go before, the Army's really good about having a lot of soldiers take surveys.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to go from surveys to what I call serving, like serving our population in a way that's meaningful. Another, kind of phrase I like to use is going from data to dialogue instead of just collecting data and, and maybe providing a few videos. We want to go from data to dialogue. We want to be able to have soldiers create dialogue instead of just get a bunch of data or get their scores, which is important. Self-awareness, you got to know where you stand. And we've really enhanced those reports, but now you want them to create a dialogue around their needs in terms of their comprehensive fitness. And that's what we try to do with that sort of Web 3.0. Did that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, no, it does. Another thing you mentioned, the previous version or the predecessor to Army Fit did not include anything about physical fitness. And I'm just guessing here, but I'm assuming that's probably because the Army has longstanding and established ways to measure physical fitness. What is the value to you, and this kind of gets to the whole point of the Comprehensive Soldier and Family Fitness Program, but what's the value to you of putting all five of those dimensions, physical and the other four, all under the same roof?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing I'll just talk about is the physical dimension, and I kind of struggled with this early on because I'm like, okay, physical dimension. Well, the Army's already doing that. You go get your blood pressure taken, once a year when you do your little – periodic health assessment.
Right.
You go to the dentist once a year. You take an Army physical fitness test where you see how many push-ups and sit-ups you can do. But physical fitness is so much more than that. And I felt like we were kind of failing our soldiers in making them think that physical fitness is about maxing your PT test. It's about making sure your blood pressure is good. Well, that's only part of physical fitness. And so I wanted to round out that dimension by including those things. So we actually do part of the instrument now. The soldier puts in their PT score. They do put in their blood pressure because those are important. I'm not saying they're not. But we also roll in other things like, are they getting enough sleep? What are their regular eating habits? What kinds of physical activity are they doing? Are they suffering from regular injuries or not? That way, this physical dimension becomes sort of a conglomeration of several things that the Army is sort of doing independently and some things that they're not doing or they weren't doing until now, like asking about sleep on a regular basis. And we know now the profound impact of sleep on your health and your performance. So we needed to, the Army did not, although we were doing some stuff in physical fitness, it really was very kind of myopic in its approach. And so we wanted to make just the physical dimension itself much, much more robust and actually comprehensive in and of itself. So that's my comment about the physical dimension and why I'm really excited about it is that it includes lots of things. Your second question about, in context of these other dimensions, and I'll just say I think it's incredibly profound. It has profound implications that the Army can now have a data set, again, all de-identified, because we want to preserve the confidentiality, but the Army can now start to ask some really important questions about what drives health and what can we be doing to help get at some of the bigger problems like, healthcare cost and healthcare utilization. And I think, when we look at, if we kind of assume that health and fitness really is global and it really is parts of these, it's different parts of all five of these dimensions, well, now we have the data to understand that. And it allows the Army to ask the really big, important questions and then go into the data and find out the interconnections. So I think the Army is going to have to, myself, other researchers, other senior leaders are going to have to, now that we have this, what are the questions we should be asking? And then let's find out some of the answers. And just examples, like what are some of the interconnections between somebody's social fitness and their physical health, physical fitness? What are some of the connections between spiritual fitness and physical fitness, social fitness? So, all this stuff we know is interconnected, but we don't quite understand are all the very important interconnections. And this data is going to have to be looked at, by different experts in different fields together, working together to sort of three-dimensionally look at the data and understand the complexities so we can really make people, that ultimately will help drive policy, research, education, resource allocation throughout the world at different bases when you can understand what the needs are of those populations. And never before has the Army been able to have that kind of, data set that does, again, lend itself to truly understanding what health really is. Before, it was just very siloed between medical, between TRADOC and other groups. So your question is a great one, and I think it does have some profound implications that are going to help the Army sort of understand, and again, have profound implications really for the civilian world. These five dimensions are not unique to Army. They're part of the World Health Organization's Foundations of Health, but nowhere else in the world do you get that kind of data that we do. So I think it'll help really all of humankind understand from a data standpoint what really makes health and what are the really important. At least it'll certainly contribute to that in a large way. And so we're proud to, I think, offer that also to the, to the civilian community.
Dr. and Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Johnston is my guest on this week's On DoD. We're talking about Army Fit, the Army's new tool to help soldiers and other Army audiences assess their own fitness, not just physical fitness. More after another short break on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Servin.
More sugar, not sweet. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS Health Beat. Americans eat lots of extra sugar, but this doesn't mean life is sweet. At the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Xuanhe Yang looked at National Health Survey data on how much sugar we get from sweetened beverages, desserts, and the like, as opposed to sugar that's naturally in foods like fresh fruit. Yang says 71% of adults got 10% or more of their calories from added sugar, and about 10% got a quarter of their calories that way in 2005 to 2010. Yang says that's having an effect.
Higher consumption of added sugar was associated with significantly increased risk of death from heart disease.
The study says the percentage of added sugar in our diets has been rising for years. The study was in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
We are back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu. A new tool called Army Fit is our focus for our show today. As you've been hearing, it's designed to let soldiers, their families, and Army civilians assess their own fitness along five different dimensions of strength. Yes, physical, but also emotional, social, spiritual, and family. We're talking about why the Army now thinks those other dimensions are its business with Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Johnston, the program manager for Army Fit. Before the break, he told us he thinks the program, once all the data it collects is turned into anonymous statistics, will prove to be a treasure trove for researchers all over the world as they try to understand all the elements that make up an individual's health. Assuming that your participants give honest answers, I could see a huge amount of value in that. Not just, you know, to the institutional Army, but perhaps even on a more local level. So, a base commander can look and see, oh my God, 40% of the population on my base is drinking five times a week or whatever. Do you imagine this data being used at that, you know, granular a level?
Yeah, so one comment on the honesty rate. You're absolutely right. If we all kid ourselves and pretend like every soldier takes this thing and is 100% honest, because they're worried about, you know, that this is used even though that is totally false, you know, that would be kidding ourselves. So we know based on our own analyses that, again, and we do it all de-identified, but we know that by looking at the response patterns that people, after people take this, that we have an 85% honesty rate right now. So about 85% of all users, about a million or so a year, take this thing honestly. So that's a pretty good honesty data set, and we have ways to eliminate data sets that we think are just outliers, and they're not, people putting all ones or all fives or, you know, drawing smiley faces with the dots or something. So we do have ways to preserve the integrity of the data through ways of looking at, you know, what's good data and what's not. So I just wanted to touch on that. But 85% we're very happy with, and we're glad that 85% of the soldiers trust us, because we do not use this data to identify people in any shape or fashion. It's all de-identified when we do analyses. Now, the second point as far as at what level could this really be used and be actionable? So we are going – one of the enhancements to the site coming out in this year is sort of a backdoor to the site where leaders – and right now we're looking at starting at a high level, and that level being the installation level. So installation level leader, commander – will be able to go into sort of a back door version of the site and look at their community as a whole. So again, aggregate data, not individual data, but aggregate data and some trend analysis of various fitness metrics on their installation. So we are building that. That'll be coming out soon. And it will be used for the purpose of that leader to understand what are the areas that he or she needs to be thinking about, focused on, educating, providing resource towards as it relates to understanding the health of their population on their installation. So again, not individuals, but some aggregate data breaking up, showing that not only like the numbers, like, okay, you got a lot of people that are smoking, but more you have, based on, you know, this age group on your installation, here are the top three things that are driving premature mortality in that population. And that's kind of what that real age metric, it's not only useful for the user, but now we have a metric that we can use to provide meaningful reports to the leadership so they can understand what are the fitness concerns they should really be looking to address on their installation. But again, at the installation level is about the lowest we're going down to right now, because again, preserving the integrity of the self-awareness aspect of the instrument is of critical importance to us. So we're not going to go any lower than that for the time being, until we can figure out a way to do it without ever risking any of the confidentiality and the integrity of that in the instrument.
Because if there is a breach of trust here, you probably don't get it back.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, when Bradley Manning did his WikiLeaks thing, and whether it's other issues that have come out in the press, people have, investigators have desired people's scores to try to understand why somebody might have done something tragic or inappropriate or unethical or illegal, and we have never released that data. And it would take a very high level of command, and it's still yet that has not occurred, to release that data, because again, you do it once, you set a standard that they do sometimes release data, and to this date we have not been ordered to release any data, because even our senior Army leadership realizes the potential implications of doing that. Like, and as you said, you could potentially violate the trust. And again, at the end of the day, we want a personal, trustworthy relationship with the soldiers, family members, and DA civilians that we serve. And we want them to know that this is for them. It's for their self-awareness and their improvement. This isn't for Big Army to make decisions about them as individuals.
Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Johnston is the program manager for Army Fit. One more segment on that program after a final break this hour. We'll hear from one of the system's early users as the self-assessment tool for the Army's Comprehensive Soldier and Family Fitness Program gets off the ground. This is On DoD on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Servin.
Management Friday on Federal News Radio. Friday mornings at 10, listen for the American Federation of Government Employee Workforce Perspective on Inside Government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch to learn the best career path for you. Management Friday on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Did you know there are hundreds of government and military events happening right here in the D.C. metro area? Check them out by visiting govevents.com. Easy to use and free to join.
Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM, I'm Jared Serbu. This is On DoD. A program called Army Fit is our topic this hour. It's a new online tool for soldiers, their families, and Army civilian employees to help them assess their fitness, including their physical fitness, but four other aspects, too, that are meant to get at general life skills and the ability to be resilient in the face of adversity. Army Fit launched in late January. All soldiers are going to have to take the self-assessment once a year. We're going to talk briefly now with one of its users, Specialist Ryan Bradley. And for purposes of full disclosure, I should point out that we did not contact Specialist Bradley independently. Rather, the Army suggested we speak with him as one of the very first users of the Army Fit system.
Right off the bat, speaking to some of my counterparts and people that I work with, the first thing that I noticed is everyone says, wow, that was really long. And we had to figure out, it was easy to figure out why. It's because you couldn't go down and check all the blocks anymore. So across the board, you understand that we had to actually answer every, you had to read the question and answer it. And of course, there's that stigma there that soldiers that do have, believe that they think that that if they answer honestly and they're going through a hard time, that, someone's going to come snatch them up or they'll get in trouble for something. And that's not the case. The interface is great. I really enjoyed the real age. That was excellent. Right off the bat, the first thing I noticed is, compared to other Army systems I've used in the past, it's very straightforward. The graphics are amazing. I think that the picture quality and the colors. You know, it's not all like monotoned and you kind of zone out upon initial appearance. So that was something that kind of made it more worthwhile. And honestly, the feedback was great. Being able to have that connectivity factor was excellent. And I know the content that is in the platform now, and I hope that others, as time goes on, when they're no longer just forced to take this, you know, word of mouth will get out and say, hey, have you seen the weight loss challenge in there? Hey, have you seen, all these different organizations you can connect with? Have you seen the Facebook page and all the information they put out? Like, I didn't even know until today that apparently reservist and guard, National Guard and active duty can all take part in the Army's BOSS program, the Better Opportunity for Single Soldiers. I had no idea, and that's an amazing program for single soldiers, especially those who, you know, may be having difficulty with their social life and that, you know, aspect, I think. And there's no end to it, and that's what I like about it. It's no longer checking the block once a year. And that's what I want to see, is that something I can actually get something out of, and that it was so thought out. I don't think that it, you know, this is going to be just a one-time deal. And then, oh, darn, you know, I got to print another certificate again. So my senior leaders, you know, will come off of me about the not completing a task that we were meant to accomplish.
I don't want to ask you anything too personal or ask you to divulge information you don't feel like you're comfortable divulging. But did going through the process make you feel like the information that you got back might make you change some behavior in the future?
Absolutely. Even during the assessment itself, the way the questions were asked, and I'll be honest with you, I knew going into this, I've known for a little while that, you know, one of my pillars had been lacking a little, and the GAT assessment, the new GAT, going through it, looking at the questions and the way they were presented, actually, it was like self-reflecting. I don't do this, or I do this, or, you know, I'm not. So for me, it was, you know, the family aspect. I didn't, you know, it goes into all of that information. And I was like, you know what, that actually makes sense. And, you know, maybe that could be improved upon. And then after I completed it, then I got this list of suggestions. And then, I went to the actual to the link that took you to all of the kind of the corresponding information for the family pillar. And there was just a lot of great resources, and the topics were displayed in a way that you could read. Just the title gave you kind of an idea of certain aspects that could be improved upon in a relationship. Some things that you didn't even think about when it, you know, comes to family and how that impacts. You know, it was a broader picture on something that, you know, really didn't think about as much. So I found that to be very useful.
All right. Colonel Johnston, let me turn back to you for one more thing before we run out of time here. This is obviously, as you said, for soldiers, family members, and Army civilians. I got to say, I'm skeptical that you're going to see a lot of use from civilians and family members without, you know, the requirement you must do this once a year. What are you doing to encourage participation among those populations where it's not mandatory?
Well, you know, one thing that we're doing that I alluded to earlier is offering them a report that we believe is of tremendous value. And for them, it is most likely going to be the real age. You know, one number that they can clearly, you know, people want to know, you know, what is my real age? And, you know, on the commercial side, it's highly successful, lots of engagement. People want to know it. So we think that's one thing that's going to at least help, you know, people that want to know the real age. Are they going to die sooner or later than they ought? You know, it kind of tells you, you know, how many grains of sand do you have in your hourglass of life, so to speak. And, mm-hmm. and that'll be of interest to a lot of civilians. The second thing that we're sort of brainstorming is providing incentives to those groups. So if they come in, they take the instrument, they maybe complete some program or some level of engagement that they would receive maybe a discount at the commissary for some, you know, healthy food items, that they maybe get a something they can, working with AFIs, that they would be able to go into the PX and get some discount on some, you know, some home fitness equipment or something that we think is of value to them to want to purchase. So we've been discussing internally reaching out to some of those organizations, the commissaries, the AFIs, and trying to work on some kind of incentive. Years ago, several years ago, we did a partnership with a popular food chain that makes, you know, what I guess you might say is healthier fast food items, to try to get them involved. But that didn't work for several reasons, and it wasn't well publicized. So whatever we do, we know it's got to be something that brings value to them, brings value to their life, brings value to maybe their shopping or their pocketbooks, and then it works. Like they actually they're able to print out the certificate or whatever it is, or you know, get something on email that they can take in and scan for a, you know, barcode and get a discount. So those are kind of some of the things. But you're right, at the end of the day, it's probably going to be a multifaceted approach to get them interested.
Dr. and Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Johnston is the program manager for Army Fit, a self-assessment tool the Army just rolled out as part of its comprehensive soldier and family fitness program. This conversation is a follow-up to a show we aired back in October on that broader program. If you missed that interview, it's at federalnewsradio.com/ondod. One final programming note, the interview you just heard was conducted in mid-February, just before the National Academy of Sciences released a report that was highly critical of all of the military's resilience programs and strongly questioned the science behind them. And that fact of timing is why the report's conclusions weren't addressed in the interview you just heard. But if you'd like to read it, we'll post a link at that same URL, federalnewsradio.com/ondod. As for this week's program, we are out of time, but thanks again for joining us. I'm Jared Serbin. So long.
You've been listening to On DoD with Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. On DoD, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.